Open Science Talk, the podcast about open science. My name is Per Pippin Aspås. Today I am joined by Sona Araste and Jan Erik Fransvåg, and we're here to talk about the project DIAMAS, and in particular a study that was published quite recently, an institutional publishing landscape study by the project DIAMAS. So Jan Erik Fransvåg works at UiT, the Arctic University of Norway, and has been a work package leader of one of the work packages of DIAMAS. And Sona Araste, who are you?
Thank you very much for having us. As you just said, my name is Sona Araste. I'm a project open science officer for the DIAMAS project on behalf of OPERAS, and a communication officer for the project Craft OA for Max Weber Foundation in Germany.
Excellent. And you, Jan-Erik Fransvåg, you have been in this open access business for many, many years. And you were also behind something called the OA Diamond Journals study, which was published 2.5 years ago by now. Could you briefly explain the difference between the OA Diamond Journal study and this institutional publishing landscape study? How do they differ, or how do they relate?
Well, they are related, of course. I think that study was one of the stepping stones that led to the DIAMAS project. But the original study was on diamond OA globally. You know, DIAMAS is tasked with looking at institutional publishing in the, what he calls the European research area. Institutional publishing in Europe is, we know, mainly open access, and open access at institutional is mainly diamond. So that means there is a clear link between the study on the diamond journals globally and what you're doing on institutional publishing in Europe. But they're not the same. It's not the same geographical area. And this study looks at more than diamond OA. It looks at other forms of OA, and it looks at toll access publishing. We see that there's a lot of toll access still going on and paper-based among institutional publishers in Europe.
Yeah, so if I understand it correctly, the Diamond Journal study, it looked at the journals as individual entities, whereas this publishing landscape study looks at where these various journals sit. And they sit at institutional publishing services, and some of them sit there together with, as you say, toll access, subscription-based or even paper-based formats.
That's a good point. The original study looked at individual journals. We are looking at the institutions publishing them or supporting them as service providers. So that means we look at a higher level and also at more limited geographical scope.
Great. Sona, you mentioned Craft OA and DIAMAS. Both of these are related to this diamond open access. We should define it, of course, initially. We should have done it even a minute ago. Diamond open access means that there is no fee for the reader to read the content and no fee for the author to get the content or an article, for instance, published at a journal. So Craft OA and DIAMAS are related. And a third link is something called Palomera. So these three projects, could you briefly explain what they are about?
Okay, so let's start alphabetically. Craft OA is a project that focuses more on the technical side of supporting Diamond OA publishers. So basically developing plugins, multilingual solutions, OJS solutions, and something that is currently called Diamond Discovery Hub, which will basically or intends to enhance the indexation of Diamond Open Access journals, whereas DIAMAS is focusing more on the policy side and recommendation side of things and actually establishing a picture of what is the current state of Diamond OA within the European research area. And together, especially these two projects, target to deliver building blocks for a future capacity center, capacity hub for Diamond Open Access that will work as an infrastructural support for Diamond Open Access throughout the European research area. That being said, with Palomera, what Palomera is doing, it is basically focusing on policies for open access books, because as you probably know, open access books are politically less prominent than open access journals. So what they do is they try to investigate why that is and how they can overcome that gap in awareness, if you want to say it like that.
Excellent. Back to you, Jan-Erik. You have now presented the results from one of the working packages of this DIAMAS, or DIAMAS, however you want to pronounce it. Why not publish everything at the end of the project?
Well, the long version of the report is meant primarily as an internal working document, establishing facts and figures and a knowledge for the ensuing work packages to build upon. Work package two has produced this. We don't present solutions, and we don't. The intention was not to point very much at problems, but to describing the status as a starting point for further work. And we found that, and the full length report is an official delivery to the EU. And we found that this probably contained knowledge that others would like to take part in. But as reviewer number two pointed out, that the full length report probably wouldn't be a bestseller. It was too filled with data, numbers, facts, and figures. So we decided that to make this knowledge that it contains more readily available, we wanted to create a shorter version highlighting the most important findings in the report. And then, of course, we made the full-length report available also, so that the interested reader can consult that, not necessarily reading it all 240 pages, but reading the interesting chapters.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up, because the full-length, you could say, preliminary report in the form of an institutional publishing landscape study is already there on Zenodo, but it sits alongside a synopsis of results from the DMS survey. And that brings us back to you, Sona. You, together with Oliver Blake from Liber organization, you were entitled this task of compiling this synopsis. And how did you go about? What was important to highlight from the long report that Jan-Erik just mentioned?
I mean, so I think in the beginning, before I begin to explain in more detail, the thing that is the most present finding of all within this landscape report, I think, is the fact that what the Diamond OA study found a few years ago, that the landscape of institutional publishing scattered, is basically something that this report just reaffirmed. So institutional publishing is highly diverse, which to some extent is very good because it is, well, diverse. But it also means that in order to support this kind of landscape and this kind of type of publishing, you have to tackle various issues. So basically what my colleague Oliver and I did when we looked at the landscape report is, and none of us wrote the landscape or was involved in the heavy writing of the 240 pages document. So basically, we were looking at it with fresh eyes. And we tried to figure out what kind of chapters would be the most interesting to people working in publishing, that they need to figure out which kind of structural issues we can point out, even in this highly diverse landscape. And we found quite a bit of that, right? So we found out that, for example, equity, diversity, inclusion, and bibliodiversity is not what we can call a standard right now. We can say that there are disciplinary differences in what open access output looks like throughout the European research area. We see national tendencies. And I think one of the most important findings that we try to highlight in the synopsis is basically that support for Diamond Open Access Publishing is works best when it is embedded in an institutional context. So basically in national, if it aligns with national policies, if it aligns with already existing structures within open access communities. So this is something that was reaffirmed through this landscape report, even though the landscape report in itself was trying to paint a picture and not answer questions. So basically what it does is it indicates in which areas to ask which questions. So bad news is there's a lot of work coming towards us. The good news is now we know where to start.
Yeah. You mentioned differences between different countries. You are affiliated in Germany, I think, and now there is a call for a German capacity center for Diamond Open Access. How can that help institutional publishing to prosper in the future? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Basically, what we're trying to establish is infrastructure on the support that serves the many levels of Diamond Open Access publishing by establishing an international Diamond Federation, whose scope is global, capacity hubs that are regional. So, for example, the European capacity hub, Diamos, will contribute to, would be the regional capacity hub for Europe, which would then coordinate specific Diamond OA activities for certain disciplines or countries and serve as some kind of node where this kind of knowledge is based, right? And then there are capacity centers, which would basically be something like, for example, Open Edition, which are disciplinary or national centers that serve as some kind of Diamond OA access point in national languages, which are kind of like first aid or the first contact point if you want to do anything Diamond Open Access in this discipline or area. And the call you mentioned from the German Research Foundation basically taps into that. So the idea is we want some kind of first line aid for the people who maybe want to flip their journal Diamond, for example, or who are in need for specific services that are Diamond OA related. And we want them to know who they can turn to. And this is what this infrastructure is for. So responsibility for that should be federated, obviously. And all of this infrastructure is basically built on and built for the Diamond Open Access communities who are at the heart of all these projects. Without them, there would be no such thing at all.
Excellent. Let me try and be very local. Jan Erik and myself, we work together part-time supporting something called, or we dedicate our work hours to something called Septentio Academic Publishing, which is a Diamond Open Access publisher in Norway, sitting here at UIT. We have about a dozen journals that are peer-reviewed, and all of them are Diamond, and we also have about a dozen of series that are more in the range of grey literature reports and so on, or they are not so active that they can be called a proper peer-reviewed regular journal. But they are still sitting there with us at Septentio. How would you describe this Septentio service, Jan-Erik, in the Nordic part of Europe? Is it a very small publisher, or is it a medium-sized, or how would you call it?
Well, I used to joke when I started looking at this 13, 14 years ago that we are among the world's largest OA publishers. We have more than one journal. The single journal publisher is still the majority of institutional publishers. We are an adequately mid-sized OA publisher, institutional publisher, both in the Nordic countries and globally. And we are mid-range competent. You know, there are a lot of things we would have wanted to do had we had more money. I mean, more people like us and also the financing to be able to buy services from service providers, etc., to develop our journals in a technical sense. The content is good enough. But like most our respondents, we see there are a lot of things we would have liked done to do better and more of.
Yeah, you mentioned technical, let's say, upgrades of the how the content is presented then. I mean, in both in the home pages of the journals and perhaps also the layout of the PDFs and other formats besides PDF, like HTML and so on. But what about the services that Sona just mentioned, the kind of advice to editors and so on? Is that something that that an institutional publisher generally does? I know that we do it here in UIT, but is that something that you generally see, or is the landscape study report not tapping into that at all, so we don't know?
I think the landscape study report doesn't much tap into that, but if I can speak not from the report, but from observations both before this work and during this work, is that this is very different. I think there is a number of such services that we have in Norway. And I think that what I see from the data about the journals is that these services have been good at advising and tried to streamline the journals into becoming sufficiently adequate professional journals when it comes to the publishing side. I see other services on a greater scale who obviously haven't done that same kind of trying to streamline and reform the journals to fit into an open access publishing world. I see a lot of journals out there that is, I would characterize as paper published on the internet, which means that there is a lot missing. They are there, but they are not come far enough into integrating open access publishing practices, which means that they have a distribution that is not as good as it could have been.
Yeah, in the open data world, which is also part of open science these days, we talk about the FAIR principles: findable, accessible, interoperable, and reproducible, or is it reusable, rather? So these kind of aspects are familiar also in a Diamond Open Access sense, I guess. Sona, do you have something to add when it comes to these technical standards that should be part of Craft OA, right? Where do you see the biggest challenges seen in the kind of services that institutional publishers provide to the journals?
Generally speaking, probably in things like interoperability and indexation of Diamond Open Access journals, because this is something where CraftOA and Diamond is actually intertwined to some extent, because what we found out, thanks to the landscape study, is that one of the main challenges is actual technical proficiency. So maybe the issue isn't partly actually technical, but the other part of it is the proficiency and the awareness or the technical knowledge of employees of Diamond Open Access journals. So I think you can't really distinguish completely between these two when talking about that, because we have to tackle them together.
I've seen other projects hinting at a barrier is the notion that there is often low quality at the institutional publishing houses. Is there anything to that? And can the landscape study sort of counter such prejudices, Jan-Erik?
I'm not certain that the landscape report actually says too much about that. It says that many IPs feel that they need more competence and they need better funding in order to, for instance, buy services, etc. And this points to that institutional publishing at large cannot today necessarily compete with good commercial publishers. There are bad commercial publishers also out there, so let's not forget about that. But yes, there is a way to go. I think this project and the following projects might help. And it's important to say that if there is a quality problem with open access, it's not with the content. It's with the technical aspects and the distribution. For instance, we see that most IPs report they have, they don't feel they're indexed well enough. And indexation is an important part of visibility, and which is, again, a service to the authors. It's not a service to the journal, it's a service to the authors and to the readers.
Yeah, indexing, you mean that it's findable in various search
sites, right? Engines, and it's important that content is placed where the readers search for it.
If we go a little bit further in this synopsis, there are several chapters, and one of them is about equity, diversity, inclusion, and belonging. And here it's about things like gender, language, I mean, different publishing languages, and so on. Language is obviously English. We speak together now in English, for instance, although it's not our mother tongue. It's the way that academia works these days. But some people are concerned about the decline of national languages. Do you see something with Diamond Open Access? Can that help preventing the overall development towards English, if you need more in national languages, is then Diamond helping in some way, Sona?
Well, I would say it can be helping in so far as Diamond Open Access, of course, first and foremost means no fees. But secondly, what we are trying to do is also to connect it to some kind of quality standard, right? And what we all have to do is probably reevaluate how we establish quality of academic content. And if quality of academic content means that in terms of this edit dimensions, it hits certain areas of that, or best of all of them, then maybe this kind of label Diamond OA can also work towards the future of publishing, where this is not considered something extra on top of content, of quality content, but rather a marker of quality of the content of a journal. So in an ideal world, or basically the ideal we're aiming at, this is not something on top, but an integral quality of a journal that makes up a huge part of quality.
If I may comment, in Norway we have a financing, or we had a financing system that promoted international cooperation, which generally means English. On the other hand, we have a financing system for Diamond Open Access journals in humanities and social sciences, where using the national language is a prerequisite for having support. So I think policies and how they are enacted is very important, and tie that also to financing as in Norway.
Yeah, you mentioned a special fund in Norway for humanities and social sciences journals, and where there is a language requirement, at least 50% of articles need then to be in Scandinavian language, preferably Norwegian, of course. But do you see Diamond Open Access as something that is particularly widespread in humanities and social sciences, or is it spread all over the disciplines, Jan-Erik?
Well, all numbers, and also from the Open Access Journal Diamond study, shows that it's surprisingly many Open Access and Diamond Open Access journals outside humanities and social sciences, in the natural sciences, in medicine and health sciences, and agriculture, everywhere. And we were actually surprised in the other study to find so many journals outside humanities and social sciences that were a Diamond OA. And for instance, I think the biggest or one of the biggest diamond OA journals in Norway is the official journal of the Norwegian Medical Association, which is most definitely medical science. So, I mean, it's an error to think that the diamond is humanities and social sciences. We see many of them there, but there are a lot of them in other fields too.
Now we are coming to the end of the podcast, and I would like to ask you if there is anything you would like to add. Maybe you first, Sona, something that we haven't mentioned.
I think we did a very good job of covering a lot of what is covered in the synopsis as well. I would like to urge everyone to take a look at it, and if any questions rise, please follow them in your own research or let us know. But yeah, thank you so much for having us.
I would also like to thank you for this opportunity to talk more about what has been filling our lives for the last year or so, at least mine and some quite many others. And I would like to thank Sona and Oliver for writing this. You know, I will. Unless you are really wanting to go deep into it, read the synopsis and see what's interesting there, and then go further to the landscape report for more in-depth knowledge on specific areas and on specific countries, if you want.
With that, I thank you so much for coming to the podcast. Open Science Talk is produced by the University Library of UIT, the Arctic University of Norway. Thanks for listening.